Well, we're going to now have some readings from God's Word, from the Bible. We're going to read from three passages, some verses from each, as regards marriage. Firstly, from Genesis chapter 2, so from the very beginning of the creation, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 to 25, where we read in God's Word, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now we'll read some verses, the words of our Lord Jesus, in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19, and from verse 3 to 6. "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain, or two, shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And then also from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 to 33. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Amen. This is the reading of God's Word. Johnson and Ada have asked me this morning to particularly speak concerning some words in another part of the Bible, which are written there in your orders of service, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 and 7. Will we read this? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Before we look for a few moments at those verses in particular, I want to ask this morning and answer the question, what is marriage? What is marriage? We're here to witness and to celebrate with Johnson and Ada. They're being joined together in marriage. What is it? In the Australian Marriage Act, there is this definition. It is the union of a man and a woman to the exclusion of all others, voluntarily entered into for life. And I would have it, I'll put to you that this is a good definition of marriage. But why is it good? It's not good because the government said so. It's not good because it's historically accurate. It's good because it fits what the Bible says. It's good because God defines marriage this way. This definition of marriage is what we have read of in these passages in Scripture. From Genesis, right at the beginning, we read of God's design for marriage. And then referred back to and confirmed by the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. And so we should understand that marriage is not man-made. It's not synthetic. It's not an invention of either men as a sex or mankind in general. It's God-made. That's why we come before God today. I want to hear from his word as to what marriage is. And so that is marriage, what we're celebrating today. And we want to ask as well, what is the purpose of marriage? And as we would ask an inventor about his invention, what it's for and how it works, as we are supposed to look in the instruction manual to see how a machine or tool would work, so we would ask God as to what marriage is for. And the Bible holds out three main purposes in marriage. I've had the privilege the last number of weeks of spending much time with Johnson and Ada in the Bible and studying what God says about the Bible. And I want to distill that very briefly this morning in these three points as to what marriage is for. And as we read in Genesis 2 verse 18, we see there that marriage is for help. God gave to Adam a wife to help him. To help him with the work that God had given him to do. And we would see in marriage that a man and a woman are given to each other to help each other. Mutual help. Yes, there's friendship, there's companionship, there's shared love, shared time and memories to come, God willing. But there's help for work to be done. God's given us work to do on this earth, his name to be glorified in all that we do, and in marriage there is help. Secondly, we see that marriage is for the having of children. At the beginning, we didn't read these verses, this verse in Genesis 1, verse 28, but we read, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, or fill the earth." And that's how come there's 7 billion or so and not two people in this world. Because God blessed and there were children given. And God's given marriage as the place for children to be had, to be born, to be raised, to be nurtured. And particularly for well, that we might continue as mankind from generation to generation. But particularly the Bible says, as he would bring Christians together in marriage for the increase of his church, for the building of his church. In Malachi, we're told, Malachi 2, verse 15, that God seeks a godly seed. Thirdly, the Bible holds out to us that marriage is for preventing sexual impurity. We live in a lust-crazed world. It's sex-saturated, and there's temptation and sexual wickedness abounding. God's given marriage as a lawful, the place where such intimacy can be and should be shown. Marriage is to be a protection, a way of resisting sexual temptation and immorality. And so 1 Corinthians 7 verse 2 says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." So we've asked, what is marriage and what is the purpose of marriage? We've gone to God. God designed it. God tells us what it's for. And this is the standard, not just for Christians, but for everyone, because God made us all. This is what we must hear, what we must know and live to. We would come then with that understanding of marriage and to consider briefly these verses in Proverbs chapter 20. As you have them there. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." Faithfulness. Integrity. That is what is needed for a successful marriage. What is faithfulness? What is it to be faithful? It's to keep your word. It's to keep your promises. It's to be constant, to be consistent, to be loyal. What's integrity? Integrity has to do with completeness, being a complete unit in that sense, being honest, being upright, living according to what you know is right. I think you would agree with me that if indeed marriage is made on promises, promises between a man and a woman to each other, to be faithful, to remain together and serve one another for life, that this will only succeed and prosper if there is faithfulness and integrity. Think of any relationship or any organisation, whether it be a business or a family or a society in general. Take away faithfulness, take away integrity, and it will fall apart. No one will be able to trust one another. There was no cohesion, no sticking together. Faithfulness, integrity. But what do we see? Don't we see so often so many marriages falling apart? Whether that's your experience or you've experienced that as a child, as regards your parents or in friends or those you know. We see this around us. We see lack of faithfulness, lack of integrity. We see people double dealing, breaking contracts, backstabbing. We see promises made and broken. Contracts made and broken. There's no faithfulness, there's no integrity. Well, we see there's a problem. Well, what is the problem? Is it lack of education? Is it poverty? Not enough opportunities? Is it bad policy? Should the government really be doing more about this to fix this problem of unfaithfulness, of lack of integrity? I think we realise that those things aren't the answer. God tells us the problem. And the problem is in our hearts. The problem is sin. The Bible says that the problem is that we've rebelled against God. We've broken his law. We all just want to do our own thing. A little bit later on in that part of Proverbs 20, in verse 9 it says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?" Who can say that? Who can say that they are pure in the very inner thoughts and parts of their lives, that they are pure from sin, pure from any defilements? Now the Bible shows us that our sin hurts us, it destroys us, it leads us to basically, it's a path of self-destruction. It hurts others. But most of all, it's disobedience against God. And it brings his anger against us. So if we understand that's the problem, let's look at verse 6. What does it say? "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" You know, when Johnson and Ada first suggested this as one of the passages maybe to consider this morning, I had to look at it twice in a sense and think, well, this isn't particularly about marriage. But as I thought of it more, it struck me how appropriate it is, how wise a choice. I mean, there's many parts of God's word we could consider. But we're coming to marriage, Johnson and Ada are coming to this day, and knowing that they need to be faithful. But they're coming knowing that they can't be faithful by themselves. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." It's almost a picture of a cocky young man, isn't it? Full of himself, declaring to the world how good he is, how strong he is, how fast he is, how clever he is, accentuating that sense of pride and goodness by taking selfies at a particular angle, posting them on Facebook, letting everyone know how good he is. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And many will come to marriage, proclaiming their own goodness. My marriage will be different. Look how good I am. How faithful am I? I keep my word." But a faithful man who can find? Faithful man who can find? And I think perhaps, we see these things in cocky young men, but none of us are exempt. It's not young men only who take selfies in particular positions to make themselves look good and put them on the internet. But we think highly of ourselves, don't we? We think well of ourselves. We think we're good, we're clever, we're smart, we're faithful. This is a problem whether you're rich or poor, young or old, male or female. And God sees through it all. We're told in Psalm 14, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." A faithful man who can find. And yet, we want the blessing. We want success. We want prosperity. We want our marriages to succeed. We want our children to prosper, to do well. After us, we want our children to be blessed after us. What's the answer? The answer is not try hard. Sin is like quicksand. The more you struggle, the quicker you go down. Trying harder is just like trying to lift yourself up into a place by pulling on your own shoelaces. It doesn't work. What we need is someone else to lift us up. We need someone else, someone bigger than us, to do it for us. And the Bible says it's God. God is the only one. He made us. And he's able to save us. He's able to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves, from our own path of self-destruction. He's able to turn us. God is faithful. God is faithful. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if we say that we're sinful, if we acknowledge to God that we're sinful, true from our hearts, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful, the Bible says. How do we know that someone's faithful? How do you know if someone's faithful? Well, you look at two things, I think. You look at their track record, and then you examine that track record to look at what they were faithful in, what situations they had to face. Because if they're not really tested, if it's not, they're not really put doing anything hard, then the faithfulness isn't as worthy in that sense. How do we know God will be faithful? Because he always has been. He always has been. And he is faithful and was faithful, even to the sending of his own Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to save sinners. That was what it took, and God gave up his Son, that you who are sinful might live if you trust in him. God has the track record. He has always been faithful. He's never let any down who trust in him. All who call upon him, he will hear. He won't always, because he's all wise and we're not, he won't always answer your prayers, maybe as you think he should. He always does what's good. We see God's faithfulness. We see Christ's faithfulness. He kept his word, even when it hurt. Christ promised he would save his people. He has. And he will. And he's given his life to prove it. And because he did, because he was faithful, he's made a promise. Whoever believes in me shall not perish, they have everlasting life. God is faithful. And as we consider the love of Christ for his church, this would bring us back this morning to marriage. To consider the faithfulness of God. Because Christ is held out as the example. Christ and his church held out as the example of a husband and a wife, and how that's a husband is to love his wife, how a wife is to submit to her husband. So I want to address Johnson and Aiden, and all of you who are listening in replies to all, that you're preparing to make solemn vows this morning, solemn promises that you would have and hold one another for the rest of your lives. Would you be faithful to your vows? Would you keep them? Would you be true to them? Would you have a marriage founded on truth and integrity? Would you have your children to be blessed after you? Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own cleverness, in your own strength, in your own beauty. These things all fade. They fade. Don't trust in the arm of flesh. Trust in Christ. He is strong. He is faithful. He was faithful unto death. That's why you live, because you trust in him. And he's given you his Holy Spirit that you might be faithful. And would you truly love? Would you love one another? You know the love of God. You must know the love of God for you. God's love is set forth as the paradigm of our love, the example. 1 John 4, verse 10 and 11. Herein is love. Not that we love God. We don't define love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means we deserve to go to hell for our sins, and Jesus took that for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If you would know how to love, look to God's love. If you would know how to be faithful, if you would be faithful, look to God's faithfulness. Trust in his promises. And look into him. Trusting in him, you'll be able to keep those promises. Not perfectly, but sincerely. You'll be able to keep those promises for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health, till God separates you by death. So seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him in your marriage. Study his word together. Pray together. Seek his glory. Seek his grace and mercy. This is what we who love you and love the Lord will be praying for you. And when you do, he will be glorified. You will be blessed. And you'll be a blessing to those around. Amen. Let us stand up and pray together. Most holy God, thou who art eternal, and from everlasting and to everlasting thou art God. Thou who dost dwell in a high and a holy place, yet thou dost dwell also with he that is of a contrite and a broken heart, he that is sorry over his sins, he that knows his sin and confesses it unto thee, that thou would forgive his sins, thou would cleanse him from all unrighteousness, that for Jesus' sake thou would remember his sins no more, but put them as far away from thee as the east is from the west. As it were, they would be cast into the bottom of the sea. We know that we are not faithful in ourselves. Yes, we'll proclaim our own goodness. We'll tell everyone how good we are. But a faithful man who can find. We do thank thee for the teaching of thy word concerning marriage. We thank thee for thou hast not left us without direction. Thou hast shown us the way that we should go. And we do ask in particular for Johnson and Ada that as they would come now to be preparing to make promises to one another, that they would cleave to one another, that they would remain as husband and wife until they would separate them by death, that they would to make these promises and would seek to be faithful to them, that thou would enable them and bless them in that intention. And we seek that thou would be glorified in our continued time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.